How many times have you heard someone say, well, that's just your interpretation of the Bible? Or maybe it might take a little different form. Perhaps they might say, well, you read it that way, I read it a different way, you do it your way, I'll do it my way, and we're all in good shape. Is that a fair conclusion to reach regarding the Scriptures and understanding the Scriptures? For all of our lives, many of us have heard people say and claim and allege that the Bible really is understood in all different kinds of ways, and nobody's really right and nobody's really wrong. It's really just however you see it, however you want it to be for your life, and everything will be fine. Is that really how our approach to Scripture should be? Tonight, I'd like for us to explore the matter of biblical interpretation. Now, we're not going to have a technical or scholarly discussion on the science of Bible interpretation. It literally is a science. But it also is something that there are some very established rules for, and those rules are pretty much accepted by diligent, studious, scholarly people, many times across a broad band of religious claims or groups. The point that I'd like for us to begin from is the fact that God's Word can be understood, and nobody has any exclusive secret toward getting the meaning out of God's Word that everybody can't get. It's not some deep mystery that only a few people have the key to. It's not some sheltered thing that only certain ones have the insight into. Rather, God's Word is very plain and is also very simple. Let's look at a few points and maybe it'll help us all to understand what I'm talking about. What do people really mean when they say something like, that's just your interpretation of the Bible? Here are a few things that sometimes are behind statements like that. First of all, there is someone who believes that nobody has the right to interpret the Bible. And I have a problem with that statement from the very beginning because it is usually based on a faulty definition of the word interpret. If you are a student or a native of a foreign country and you speak a foreign language, and if you do not speak the English language, in order for me to give you a message, there has to be an interpreter. The interpreter has the responsibility of taking exactly what I say, putting it in the terms of the language that you speak and understand, and giving it to you in those words, but the interpreter does not change the meaning of what I have said. The interpreter and the work of an interpreter, as we understand interpreting different languages and so forth, is pretty much an established thing. I have preached many sermons using an interpreter to translate what I say in the English language into Spanish, for example, in Mexico, and in other languages as well. And if the interpreter is doing the right thing, if the interpreter is doing a literal interpretation, I shouldn't ever get to a point at which I say, I got to get a different interpreter. This one isn't interpreting this the way that it needs to be interpreted. Now, if that interpreter is adding his or her own opinions and so forth, ideas into my message, then that's not a true interpretation. Interpreting simply means understanding or making it so that it can be understood what it means. And so, if we are interpreting the Bible, we are taking the words of Scripture and coming to an understanding of what they mean. Now, that understanding must not be colored by or tainted by any preconceived notions or ideas or even beliefs that I may hold. So often we emphasize the importance of following the Scriptures and basing everything we do and everything that we teach on what the Bible says. Maybe you hadn't thought about the fact that that is the key to making sure we are following the Bible correctly. That is the key to making sure that what we believe and what we teach is God's Word. Now, if what we believe and what we teach is based on what my ancestors handed down to me through generations, and I say, well, you know, this is the way my people have always believed this, and this is how I'm going to follow it, then you see, my interpretation, quote, quote, of Scripture has now been influenced by a preconceived or a previously held idea. If my doctrine that I teach, or if that which I seek to follow, is based on my preferences, in other words, if I come to something and we say, well, this has to be done, and I say, well, I don't like that. I don't think that really, that's not good for me. I don't want to do that. You see, in my refusal to accept that, I have brought in my personal preference into the matter. Interpreting Scripture has no room for personal preference. It has no room for traditions that have been handed down and have wandered away from any standard. The Bible is the standard. And if we read it and examine it conscientiously, its message is clear. And so many times people will say, you have no right to interpret the Bible. And if what they're saying is, you've got no right to bring your own traditions into what the Bible is teaching, I'm with you on that. I'm there, whole hog, so to speak. If you're saying I have no right to interpret the Bible, and you mean I've got no right to make this thing say what I prefer rather than what it obviously says, then I'm with you on that too. But that's not usually what people mean when they say you have no right to interpret the Bible. Sometimes we hear that when someone is referring to what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20, and they will try to argue that a person has no right to read the Bible and come to a conclusion or an explanation for what the Bible means. Someone else may have something different in mind in making that statement. They may be trying to argue that common people like us, like you and me, are not qualified to interpret Scripture. Therefore, they may be saying, you're not trained. You're not schooled. You're not a part of the elite. Therefore, you can't interpret Scripture. They may be saying or trying to say that the message of the Bible is really hard to figure out and a person has to really be qualified in order to even open the scriptures in order to be able to understand what it says. And of course that leads to the secondary point that's always made. You know, we need to depend upon only those leaders of the church who have been properly qualified and trained and taught to then tell us what the Bible means. There are entire religions that rest upon that very idea, that the common man has no business opening the Bible for himself or herself. And you need to sit back and be patient and just wait and let the church leaders, whatever the name is, we may call those leaders, let them tell you what to believe. There is one prominent religion today that believes that only their organization is God's channel for explaining Scripture. Therefore, they say the only way for you to rightly understand what God says is to read their literature that they would love to come to your house and come in and sit down with you and give you so that you can read it. And only then can you understand what the Scriptures teach. So in view of those ideas, let's look at a couple of things, some points of confusion that I believe need to be answered. First of all, and we've already touched on this a little bit, but let's make sure we understand what it means to interpret the Bible. To interpret the Bible simply means to figure out what it's saying. Follow me. God's Word tells us that we must obey His instruction. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Jesus Himself said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven." Those who do the will of my Father. Obeying God is a necessity. Understand also that Jesus went a little bit further, and Jesus included His words in John 12, verse 48. He said, "The words that I have spoken to you, the same will judge you in the last day." In other words, we've got a responsibility to live so that we honor and obey the will of the Father, and the very words that Jesus has spoken constitute that which we must do. So what about this passage in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20? If you have your Bible, turn there with me and let's read what Peter says. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. I'm reading first of all to you from the New American Standard Version, which says, "But know this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation." Now, that particular translation, and you understand that, as we said a few minutes ago, translating is a very specific science. Translation of God's Word into the English language is something that needs to be considered very carefully. And again, there's no room in accurate translating for the insertion of opinions, for the insertion of traditions or long-held beliefs that have come from somewhere other than God's Word. The King James Version isn't always the plainest translation. One of the reasons, and there's no problem with the King James translation as long as we're careful, one of the problems with the King James Version is the fact that it was translated, it was a translation from the original language of Scripture into an English language that was used several hundred years ago, and the meaning of many words have changed, and the phraseology of certain things has changed over the years, and so the American Standard and the New American Standard and the English Standard Version, some of those that are recognized for their accuracy, have brought those kind of things into a more modern terminology with a careful consideration given to maintaining the accuracy of the translation. But at any rate, the King James translation reads in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, knowing this, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. No prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Now, first, let's read the English Standard Version. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. Then look at the context. In this case, it's the next verse that makes it abundantly clear, verse 21. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke as or spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Peter is not addressing the matter of everybody taking the prophecies and saying, well, this means that and this means that, and no, I don't agree with you, but you believe it your way. No, he's addressing the source of prophecy. He says that the prophets were not sharing their opinions when they wrote, but rather the Holy Spirit was guiding them when they wrote. This passage in no way forbids the interpreting of Scripture, that is, the figuring out what the message of Scripture is. This passage forbids the idea that these prophets just based their own writings on their own opinions. And so for years I maintained that a lot of people have totally misunderstood the message of this particular verse, and yet they have quoted it again and again and again as a put down or a way of responding back to someone who says, well, let's examine this carefully and let's understand what this means. And they say, no, 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 that verse says you can't interpret Scripture yourself. What that verse says is these prophets didn't write these messages based on their own opinions. And then there's the idea that understanding the Bible is only within the realm of some great intellectual class. Totally false. Jesus commanded that the gospel be preached to everybody. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. This includes educated people, but it also includes uneducated people. All people are able to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, there are some difficult passages, but those are really, literally, when you consider the entire burden of Scripture, those difficult passages are few and far between, and none of them are passages that deal with the basics of obeying God. So we do have a right to interpret the Bible. In fact, I'll take it a step further. We've got the responsibility to interpret the Bible. Oh, but somebody says the Bible is such a confusing book. Some people would maintain that the Bible sends mixed signals. For example, someone might read it and conclude that you have to be baptized in order to be saved. The next man reads it and concludes something different. And some folks say that's the Bible's fault. Because, oh, the Bible is just such a confusing book. In other words, we're saying the Bible ought to be more clear. This is exactly why we have so many different conflicting doctrines that are taught and believed and practiced by so many different people. Therefore, they conclude that all interpretations of the Bible are equally valid. In other words, you do it your way, I'll do it my way. Everything will be fine in the end, and we'll all please God. If we can't agree on what it means about baptism, how can we go to heaven? Would you not agree that baptism is a very critical subject when it comes to the New Testament? In fact, some people are surprised, even shocked, when they see all of the scriptures just on one page, so to speak, that address the matter of baptism. And yet baptism is treated as one of those take it or leave it kind of things by a lot of people. What's the problem? We can only conclude, therefore, based on what some folks are saying, that God is just simply trying to confuse us. Somebody said, oh, no, no, that's not what I'm saying at all. Yes, my friend, that is what you're saying. If you say that the Bible says one thing to me and says something entirely different to you, how are you and I going to join together in convincing a third person what the Bible says that we should do? I say you be baptized in order to be saved. You say the Bible says you don't have to be, or the Bible doesn't say you have to be baptized in order to be saved. Now let's you and I lock arms and go find a third person. What are we going to convince him? We're only going to convince him that the Bible is very confusing. God is the author of Scripture. And therefore, we must conclude that God is just trying to get us all mixed up. What about the fact that God has told us that we must obey His will in order to go to heaven? What about the fact that God has told us in His Word that we must be united? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Only a twisted, cruel God would demand that we understand and obey His will and then record it in a book that's designed to confuse us. I mean, how much sense does that make? When people say that the Bible is confusing, is that really what they mean, or are they dodging a point? For example, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. This is one of the passages that people often say, well, you know, you read that however you want to. I tell you what, let's read it in English. That's how we ought to read it. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, you and I all know that there are some folks who just simply don't want to believe that that passage says that baptism saves us. Is it that that's a confusing passage? Or is it that that is a passage that I don't really agree with? Maybe you've noticed by now that interpreting Scripture and following the Scripture requires one very, very essential thing. Honesty. Honesty. We must honestly seek to know what it says and honestly seek to do what it says. So is the Bible really a confusing book, or would it be more true to say it like this? And this is our last point. I don't really like this interpretation. Isn't that getting closer to the truth? then this matter of all the Bible's confusing, and that necessitates believing that God has given us a confusing work and that nobody's able to understand it. And even though God says we've got to be united and perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment, we will never be able to see this all alike the same. And so therefore we'll just all choose our own way to heaven. And yet at the same time, Jesus says there's only one way. Don't we really just need to be honest and say, you know, I've got this in my mind and that's the way I want it and I don't like anything else. I have actually heard people say, well, you know, I don't like what the Bible says about this. It may be because of their present marital relationship. It may be because of the religious heritage that they grew up under. It may be because they're under pressure to accept current cultural practices and beliefs regarding some really hot issues today, like homosexuality. I mean, I hear that almost every week. You know, the Bible is an old, outdated book, and we don't need to follow what it says about homosexuality. You could pick any number, an almost unlimited number of topics that at times rise and fall in current cultural ideas and discussions. And the truth is, many people just simply don't want what God says in His Word. It all comes down to a matter of how I feel about what God says. Do I feel like that what God says is the final word? Or do I feel like God has given His final word, but yet He's left everything open for me to decide to accept or reject, and it'll all come out at the end? If I really believe that the Bible is the will of God that must be obeyed in order to go to heaven, then I will, number one, study it. I won't rely on what other people have told me the Bible says. That's kind of like listening to the news today and forming your own political opinions and so forth based on what the guys on CNN say. Study it. Only when you study it and see for yourself what it really says. Have you ever had anybody come to you with something and say, somebody said so-and-so, does the Bible really say that? I've seen people just in all kind of a tizzy about something, and they say, does the Bible really say that? And my answer is always the same. Well, let's look it up. Let's sit down and open the Scriptures and let's see what it says about it. How much religious division and grief and hardship could we avoid if we would simply be willing to sit down and open the Scriptures and see what they say? Number two, if I really believe the Bible is the will of God and that it must be obeyed in order to go to heaven, then I will be meticulous to be sure I understand it. Now, some people have one understanding of what the Scriptures say this week, and next week they'll have some totally different understanding of it. And then a week later they'll be in a third position, and then before you know it, they're back at number one again. That's not any way to regard the Scriptures. And the Scriptures are not such that they are that difficult to understand. Let's be meticulous to be sure we understand what the Scriptures say. The purpose of our discussion here tonight is not to go through item by item all of the ways that we are to study the Bible and make sure we understand it, but here are a couple of really important pointers. Take everything the Bible says about a subject and form your understanding from the knowledge of all of that. The Bible often addresses matters in part, In other words, you won't find a particular place that tells you every single thing you need to know about any given subject in Scripture. In other words, we don't have one verse or one paragraph proof texts on anything. The Bible has a great deal to say. Make sure you review all of it. Reconcile it all together, and then you have God's position on that subject. And then number three, if I believe the Bible is the will of God, it must be obeyed in order to go to heaven. I must diligently labor to live by it every single day. You know, I suppose that we could take those three things, and if we would conscientiously apply those three things, we could forget this matter of arguing over interpretations of Scripture. If we would regard it as God's Word that must be obeyed, and if we would study it diligently, and if we would try our best to live by whatever it says, this world would be a different place. Let's make sure that we lead the way. Are you a child of God? The New Testament teaches us clearly what a person must do in order to go to heaven, in order to be saved. He must obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God's Word explains to us that our obedience includes repentance and turning away from sin. Confession of our faith in the Lord as our Savior and Master, and baptism in order that our sins may be washed away. If you haven't done that, why not do it tonight? If you've done that but have become unfaithful to God, why not come back and be restored? If you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand together and sing.